Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This program is for Saturday, July the 4th. This satsang will not be heard on July the 4th. I bet you dimes to dollars. Everybody has something more to do. Well, it's for the year of 2015, FYI, just to stamp it correctly. And I'm very grateful you're listening. I'm sure you're listening either way before or long after, but I hope that you will have or have had a wonderful holiday. I don't really know how to deal with the 4th of July. I don't know about you. I have a lot of opinion about it, which I will not share with you here, but you might kind of know where I'd be going. Anyway, I hope that you find what I'm going to offer today very helpful. It's about fear. I get a lot of emails about fear and how to overcome it or what it's all about, and I chose three very important, I think, emails over the last 5 months that have been sent to me regarding the whole concept of fear, and I hope that this serves you well. My effort is just to help you with it all and to help you understand the nature of fear, and then you have to decide what you will do with it. You know, a lot of people just can't be helped. It's just the way that people are. The perimeters of what it is that they can accept, how far they can go beyond their own thinking, determines so many things in our life. If you just stay in the small box of right, wrong, good, bad, thinking you know what is fair, what is deserved, what is right, and all that other stuff, you're going to find that you're going to miss a lot of things that are very important to the meaning of your life. So, just be with this. I'm going to share with you three very thoughtful people's questions about the idea of fear, and I will try to serve you as best I can with what I've got inside to help you understand the nature of fear, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. I don't like philosophy. I don't feel philosophy helps anyone. The only thing that helps us truly is the direct experience. And if we have that direct experience, if we are willing of that direct experience, then much can happen. The first one comes from Ahmad. He does not tell me where he lives. Sir, what is fear? I am always so frightened. It's almost embarrassing. I try to hide it, but it is difficult. Could you please help, Ahmad? Ahmad, you are very beautiful. I love the way you wrote this. I love how honest you are. Most people don't want to show their fear at all. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want any part of it. But you are very brave to even talk about it. We're all afraid. I'm afraid. Everybody has fear inside. Now, whether or not we become afraid through our fear and incorporate that into our life is another thing. Fear, whether we know it or not, is a point of option, as I like to call it. In other words, my fear that lives inside the humanness of me is not something I have to live by, live for, live away from. I can either live with it and make it my own, just living with it and believing in it and thinking that it's correct, or I can awaken. I can awaken to what the sense of fear is all about. Ahmad, I'm going to share with you some of my most personal moments here. Much of the time, I have fear. It is about something that my intuition is presenting to me that my psychology cannot handle. And because my psychology is based, like any human being, in emotionality, And because I look at my life, if I go from Greg all the time through emotionality, then I have a great deal that comes up through my intuition, is presented to my psychology, what I call my psyche, and then my psyche takes over unconsciously and starts delving into, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because my psychology is so small, my thinking is so minute, that the only things I can think about and the only things I can handle are what my emotionality can deal with. If I harbor this and nurture this all my life through gratification after gratification after gratification, then all that I can be is afraid. Fear lives inside the human body. It is impermanent. We are run by impermanence and karma. The body knows as it goes on in years that it has created that it's going to get sick, get ill, die, be difficult, be painful. So it is always looking for, well, when is that moment this is all going to start? When is that moment that the pain is going to arise? When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? And typically all these things happen and surface in our life via the unconscious mind that we have cultivated more than our conscious mind. So it isn't about getting rid of our fear. It can't be done. And those who are tremendously ignorant on the subject will think, well, it can be done. You can get rid of your fear. You can't. As long as you have a human body, it will be there. It is my relationship to fear that I must begin to question. And I have to begin to see it for what it is and how it is dominant in my life. Now, one of the things you can do, Armad, is sit and watch. How much fear do I need in order to achieve anything I achieve in and of this world? I don't know what you need to achieve in this world. I don't know how much fear plays into your life in order to get things done. I know what it is in my world, and I don't know what it is in your world. So I'm going to keep everything in my world. When I get up in the morning at 2:30 to meditate and to work upon myself through meditation, I am always excited. Always. I look forward to it. And sometimes I wake up at midnight and I'm looking forward to that 2:30 time when I can get up and meditate. Now, this took years of cultivating, but I have definitely found that working with my meditations rather than making it a chore has offered to me the direct experience, the most beautiful aspect of myself. And this myself that I speak of is not a Gregory. In fact, it is not even a self. And those are the wrong words to use, but they're the only words I have in the English language to be able to convey to you the meaning. When I'm in that state, I realize there is nothing to fear and everything is doing what it's doing perfectly. When I come out of my meditation, I realize that I am in this human body as a form of karma. I am not here to be punished. I am not here to be rewarded. It isn't about deserving or being undeserving. It is simply here. And whatever is presented to me from my body, from the existence of the human self that I have, I accept it fully. I do not fight it. I do not resist it. I do not resent it. It is what it is, what it is. And that's the antidote to fear. You ask, what is fear? It is when something of the other shore, something beautiful, reaches your consciousness. And oftentimes, the psyche of us, the psychology of us cannot handle it. It cannot situate it, as I call it. It cannot make it here or there. It cannot put it in certain peg holes that keep it where it belongs. And all of a sudden, my intuition is presenting to me things like, you better get with it, or you've strayed off here, or this is a great intense chance for love and kindness. So when I have these things, when I feel these things deep inside, my human mind doesn't like it. My human mind resents it. I think a lot of people get insights from their beautiful intuition that are beyond their psychology, beyond their reference of their thinking, and it frightens them. It shocks them because the human body is frail. Buddha called it a bunch of painted sticks and is frail and is subject to impermanence, to dying and getting sick. So it gets freaked out really easy. You're filled probably with fear, Ahmad, because you're intuitive. It could be nothing less or more than that. If I were you, I would authenticate myself through silence, through energy work, through meditation. I'd work upon myself, which is what I'm doing with my life. I say this to you not to try to convince you or change you. I'm just answering your question. And if you do something like that, a great joy will fill you, and everything will be about playfulness and love. Ahmad, thank you for listening to Aspire. Thank you for watching it on the website here. And again, thank you for your kind comments. And please forgive me. Namaste. Ahmad asks a very powerful question, and I was deeply moved by it. I really was. It's a wonderful question. What a nice person. Next one comes from Carrie. Why do you say that fear is everything to most of us? I try to avoid it. I don't think it's everything. Carrie. And Carrie, you're speaking right now, I don't know how old you are, you're speaking right now from your hubris. And if you live and speak from that, I guarantee you, you're going to get humbled. I think a lot of us, when we are younger, I'm an old fart, I'm really old, but as you get going on in your life and moving forward, you're going to find more and more that decisions that didn't look like fear actually looked harmless weren't, and they were made in a tremendous amount of fear. And this might surprise you. This might shock you. This might upset you. I don't know. But whatever it is, we make a great deal of decisions based on, well, I'm afraid that if I don't do this, this will happen. If I don't do that, that will happen. So we get all shook up, as Elvis said. I'm all shook up. Oh, I'm sorry. We get all shook up over, you know, the things that we're afraid of, and we start incorporating some kind of barrier, some kind of safeguard, some kind of fortress inside of ourselves to counteract what it is that we're so afraid of. And then that becomes one more barrier to love. Whatever it is I do from my human side to counteract the fear that I am sensing from my humanness will become a barrier to reaching my heart and finding true peace. So, Carrie, what does it take to get you to do something really kind, really generous, really sweet? Take a look at it. What does it take? How much fear do you need in all sorts of forms? There's the fear of, well, if I don't do this, they won't know I love them. If I don't do this, maybe it won't happen to me, and I want it to happen to me. So maybe this karma stuff is right. If you send it out, it'll come back. There's all sorts of ways in which the ego justifies everything in our life and tries to make it seem right or correct. The unconscious mind is full of traps, all sorts of traps that keep us from self-realizing what we really are and how we work in our living. So, you say to me, why do you say fear is in everything and important to most of us? Because without fear, what would you do? What would you do that is kind, actually, if you weren't afraid not to be kind? What would you do that is loving if you were afraid that you wouldn't be loved? These are thoughts you have to start maybe considering. I don't know. I think they're very interesting. What would I do in the name of love if I didn't have to do anything in the name of love? Because I'm afraid something might happen, a repercussion of some sort would happen. So when you start looking at your life from that point of view, you start understanding the nature of your psychology, that you and I need a certain amount of fear in order to do anything that is loving and kind. It is really interesting, and it is most sad, but this is the way we are. So, to understand the nature of our life, I have to take it further. I have to be able to live beyond the beyond. If I live in my thoughts that are connected to my emotionality, I'm only going to be afraid. My emotions are constantly afraid. They belong to my DNA. They belong to my genetics. Imagine your genetics. Look at where you come from, genetically speaking, and how pronounced your DNA is, how we do everything from DNA, our instincts are all from DNA. Our logic, our reasoning, and how we live, what we value, what we don't value, is from our genetics. Where is the authenticity? Where is the spirituality? Where is that that is beyond genetics and DNA? Most people are not interested in it. The millennium children are not interested. This generation could care less about anything other than its own survival. It cares about nothing. It's eat, drink, and be merry generation. And you could give 100 million reasons why this is happening to that generation. I could tell you 100 million. Oh, you know, I've heard theories about it. That when the millennium generation was growing up, they were told that when they got angry that they needed to time out. Well, okay. And then I've been told by psychologists that when baseball was popular and kids were playing baseball when they were younger in the millennium children, both sides won. The team that scored the most points got a trophy, and the team that didn't also got a trophy. So the idea is that there's some kind of sense of entitlement going on here. But I don't believe any of this stuff. I don't buy one single inch of it. I don't think it has to do with conditioning. I feel it has to do with pods of souls, of people who have come into this world via other times in history that we have seen these people come into the world and leave and be untouched by their, untouched by love and not willing to see the bigger picture. There is a selfishness that pervades our children these days, our young people. It's huge. And they don't even understand the bigger picture, much less are they interested in it. I asked my stepson, what do you think the bigger picture of your life is? He goes, I don't know. I said, do you care? He goes, not really. They're just willing to take it on the chin. Just take it on the chin. And a lot of people actually believe you can't know the bigger picture and you can't realize it. And that would be true, actually, if we lived only from the pure psyche of our thinking and our emotionality. It hurts me because I see so many lost people in this world. I'm sure you do too. And they have lost themselves to their thoughts, their emotionality, their fears, and they don't even know it. So, Carrie, we're in a lot of fear. We don't know it. Fear has been so inaugurated into our life and our society, our culture, that we are entertained by it for the most part and succumb to it very quickly. And that's the sad part. We're missing this whole beautiful life experience. It's so sad. Anyway, that's for you to think about. I hope I helped you. Probably didn't on this one, though. And please forgive me for that. Namaste. Sometimes while I'm doing these programs and I read what people have written to me, I realize that my language, my words, the things I'm offering to them just isn't going to hit home at all. Because of the way they structure their question, I can tell the way they think and what reaches them and what doesn't. You would be surprised. Well, no, you wouldn't, but it's amazing how many people get lost in the discourses and things that I'm offering here. They just don't get it. They can't put two and two together and see what it is that I'm offering or what I'm doing or what is really going on here. It's just fascinating to me. The last question comes from Star, and I don't know where Star lives. Does not tell me. What can I do to lessen my fear? I don't want to lose it all because I think fear to some degree is good. Star. Star, you join so many people. I had this one guy years ago, used to be a sponsor, and boy, did he get angry at me and quit. He asked me a question about fear and said, now, you know, how much fear should I let go of and how much should I keep? Because, you know, fear, like you, an opinion he has, very similar to yours, is important and we should keep some of it, you know, so we know when to cross the street and feel danger and be afraid. Oh, God. Now, Star, we'll probably never meet, but I hope one day we do. This is by far the most silly question. Oh, let me be blunt. This is the stupidest question I ever get. And you know, I know it makes sense to you, Star. I know it does. But one day you're going to turn back and maybe look at this, maybe here, maybe somewhere else, and go, I remember that. I remember feeling that. There, fear is fear. It's instinctual, and you don't want to keep it because it stands in the way of your heart. And whoever it is that you love has to sustain your fear in order to be with you. What do you put people through in order to love you? Hey, you put them through your fear. People that love me, if I am not conscious, if I'm not working upon myself, these poor people have to live in my fear. They have to live in the ugh of it, the muck, the mire, the goo of it. And they have to endure everything I'm afraid of. Even though I don't talk about it or I may not say it, they can only reach me through certain means. And fear becomes prevalent. It becomes all important. You got to ask yourself, Star, when did fear become more important to me than my own life? When did it become my life? That would even be a bigger question. And a lot of people just don't want to see it, don't want to deal with it, don't want to understand it. But there it is. Over and over and over and over again, we do this. What can I say to you that I haven't said in this program, in this satsang? You live in fear, your mind is going to start to live in anger. You live in anger, you start to live in vengeance and pride and hubris. You start living in those things, you become the Barca lounger, pedestrian mentality type of person, and you will be entertained by fear and hatred. And when that starts happening, you're a goner. And so am I. I'm out of here. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you, Star, for your beautiful question. I hope you can forgive me. I don't think you're stupid. I just think it's a stupid question that everybody has asked me. Jeez, give me a break. I'm out of here. I'll be back on the air tomorrow, and I hope you'll tune in if there's anyone left. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.